And we are off and live. We are off? No, we're not off. We're on. We're live. Okay. We're running. We're off as in, you know, the gunshot went and the race is on. We're off to the race. That's what I meant there. Stefan Maillet with you, addedsouls.com, the website. This is the Early Bird Podcast Sessions. We go live Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time. And we have an itinerary all set up for the week. Every week, and this is what it looks like. Monday, here we are, I share the sermon with you. Tuesdays, we analyze the lyric, we take a song from the secular world, and we look at the lyrics. Wednesday, we go through a Bible study. We've been going through Genesis. I think we're in chapter 3 this week. Thursdays, topical trip. We talk about topical things. It could be fornication, adultery, whatever, this, that, and the other. If you have suggestions, by all means, send them my way. And on Friday, well, we kind of talk about socio-political affairs, current events, and stuff like that. If you find that interesting and you find value and worth in the substance of things being shared, please consider subscribing, following, and supporting this work so we can move ahead and reach further and farther. That all right? Good stuff. Today, the Sermon Sunday. The Blessed versus the Wicked is the title, and we're going to be in Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. The Blessed versus the Wicked. Be sure to like, share, comment, and the link. Please share it far and wide on all social media platforms you may peruse. And that allows people to tap into the truth with us and learn along with us. I think that's a good deal because that's the purpose of our lives, is to make sure the truth is out there. The blessed versus the wicked. There's always been two paths in life, the right path and the wrong path. The right path, of course, is a narrow path. It's filled with all sorts of challenges and sacrifices, ups and downs, twists and turns. Sometimes you have to crawl into these little sharp edges, places. Sometimes you have to climb these certain mountains. It's a difficult challenge. And only a very small few make it to the end. Even those who choose to go through this narrow path, this blessed path, if you will, A great number of them ain't going to make it till the end. It's just a lot of difficulties you have to deal with. Challenges, trials, you know, discouragements, things that could train wreck your faith. Some drift off from the faith and sadly lose their hope, you know, in Christ and the afterlife. Sadly. Now, the other path, of course, is the broad way. The highway, the very large gate. Everybody's going that way, it seems, these days, publicly so. And they're prideful about it, too. Very proud to be going to hell on the Broadway. But we're going to see those two paths and those two characters and talk about all kinds of stuff taking place in Psalms chapter 1. Now, of course, Psalms chapter 1 is found in the Old Testament, and we learn from the Old Testament and the day and context at hand, which of course applies, and we can be practical in our faith today, living under the New Testament law, the New Testament covenant, the words of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, the fulfilled work of the Holy Spirit, the 66 books of the Bible. If we are wise to utilize, we shall certainly be guided into this narrow gate and how the blessed are to act and what they do and what they don't do compared to what the wicked do and what they don't do. So the blessed versus the wicked is the Sermon Sunday of this hour. On Mondays, that's what we do. We share the sermon, and we hope that you'll stick around with us and learn along with us. Going to open up now my app just to be sure that we're here and good to go. We are. Excellent. I'm going to put the text on the screen so you and I can take a look at that. And by all means, please, again, consider supporting this stuff. You can do so through the show notes there. You'll see there's a digital way to do so. You can sign up at addedsouls.locals.com. Now, it's free to sign up, but you can support me and the work and the quote-unquote 10-some building with online content for as low as $5 a month or for as much as you are willing and able to do so. If you find spiritual benefit in this. So please consider going to addedsouls.locals.com. If not, you can certainly send us a donation through PayPal, my email address, addedsouls@gmail.com. That's in the show notes. And if you seek to send us a check to our address, send me an email and I will send you the address. And for all of those of you who do, you are in our daily prayers. We are so blessed to have you in our lives. you won't know how much we love you this side of eternity for the encouragement that you give us in partaking in the work of the Maya family and the gospel where we go. Okay, so the wicked, or sorry, what is it now? The blessed versus the wicked. Psalm chapter 1. Let me put that up on the screen so you and I together can see that. Oop, I need to first put it there, wouldn't I? There we go. All right, I'm going to put myself on the lower left end here on the bubble so that you can see I'm still streaming the video. And here we go. How blessed, the text says here in Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who does not, see, we're in the negative of what a blessed man does not do. Before we get into what a blessed man does, we're going to look at what a blessed man does not do. Because, you know, someone who is faithful to God is certainly not going to be doing certain things that would be sinful. Participating in things that would be sinful. Facilitating things that would be sinful. And sinful meaning breaking God's law and going against him. Because God has a standard of judgment. It is a righteous standard of judgment. He is just. You can't have his grace without his law. You can't have peace without his justice. So it all needs to be a well-rounded endeavor here. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. What's going on there? We have walk, verb, stand, verb, sit, verb. You have wicked, you have sinners, and you have scoffers. So let's break it down in its rightly handled interpretation. How blessed is the man? Most joyful. The man who will be the recipient of God's blessing. This man, he will not live. He will not live receiving the guidance, the instructions of the wicked, the godless, the damned. You see that? See how that works? How blessed, most blessed is the man, the individual. Man here, mankind, we can certainly apply it, man or woman, who does not live according to the instructions of the godless. See how that makes sense? See how that makes sense? And you can read that for yourselves. It says it. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked? How blessed is the man who does not live according to the instructions of the damned, the heathen, the wicked, the godless? So that's one thing that this blessed man, a faithful man, let's say a Christian man or woman, faithful Christian man or woman, making application now to our dispensation of time, which is the messianic age that we live in. Let's take this text and apply it. How blessed is the saint, the Christian, who does not choose to live in accordance to the instructions of the wicked, the godless, the unbelievers, right? See how that makes sense? Nor, because that's one thing. Here are three things that this blessed man, here are three things that a Christian will not do. A faithful Christian will not participate in these three things. Number one, a Christian's not going to live according to the instructions of the unbelievers, the heathen, the wicked, the godless. He's not going to do that. She's not going to do that. And another thing he or she is not going to do as faithful Christians, they're not going to stand in the path of sinners. You know what that means? They're not going to defend sin. You're not going to do that. You're not going to try to find defense for sin. Sin is sin. It's to be exposed, rebuked, and repented of. You're not going to start defending sin. Yet what do we see today, sadly, from a great many of our brethren? When you choose to speak out against the LGBTQ community, the abortion industry, what happens? What takes place in a great many of our brethren? Well, they stand in the path of sinners. They start to defend the sin and attack the faithful brother or sister in Christ who is exposing the sin. Faithful Christians don't do that. Faithful Christians will always side with what is right. They're not going to defend what is wrong. So the blessed man or woman here is not going to live according to the instructions of the wicked, because if you start living according to the instructions of the wicked, you are certainly going to begin defending the wicked and their activities. Fornication, adultery, lying, cheating, gossip, backbiting, manipulation, treachery, betrayal. And you'd think this is something that only belongs to the heathen, the wicked, the godless. But remember how we began this path, this journey, this here session, by setting forth the two directions one can choose in life, and how many are called, many become Christians in the narrow gate, but they fail. And a great many masquerade in the narrow gate. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Diotrephes. And they become and they practice treachery and betrayal against their own kind, their own brethren who have loved them, who have prayed for them, who have given them nourishment and financial assistance. They manipulate. They become very treacherous. Christians should not do that. Faithful saints should not do that. And these, my friends, they are accusers. They will accuse the faithful of the very things they are found guilty of. This, of course, has been the bullyish tactic of the left, as we call them, in the political, the socio-political conversation. Sadly, all these worldly things that are devastating, heartbreaking, divisive, are found among many saints who are not practicing their Christian faith according to a rightly handled scripture. And some of them, they know the Bible very well, but they don't live according to it. They have a facade, a masquerade, a charade of sorts, and they portray a picture outwardly that is truly not what is within their hearts. Remember when Jesus rebuked that in Matthew 6? These Pharisees, the lawyers, the scribes of the day, they would put out a outward appearance of sorts, but it was a hypocrisy. They were not playing the role they were commanded to play. No, not at all. Inwardly, they were ravenous wolves. Treachery, manipulation, all these things. A faithful child of God, humble and honest, transparent, is not going to stand in the path of sinners. He's not going to defend sin. No, the sin is from the one who seeks the preeminence, the one who is living according to the world's ways, to receive the praise of men, to find the chief seats, to have control, to take control. But blessed is the faithful child in Christ who does not live according to the instructions of these wicked individuals, nor does he or she defend these wicked individuals. And here's the third one. Nor does a faithful Christian participate in persecuting the truth. and those who proclaim it, along with the wicked, the unbeliever, the heathen. Christians who have since compromised their faith for financial gain, for control, for all sorts of unrighteous reasons. See that? You see that? It's very simple to see if you've had wisdom in the church for a while. If you've been a believer and you're maturing in the word, thinking for yourself. How blessed is the man who does not live according to the instructions of the wicked, nor will he defend the wicked, nor will he participate with the wicked to persecute the faithful. See how that works? You can read it for yourself. It's right there. Psalm 1, verse 1. So that's in the negative, meaning this is what a faithful, blessed individual is not going to do. So now in verse 2, we're going to speak of what the blessed man, the blessed woman, the faithful child in Christ is going to do. He or she will delight in the law of the Lord. Will delight in the law of the Lord. And what is the law of the Lord? It is the holy book. It is the Bible. And back in the Old Testament, it would have been the 39 books. For you and I today, living under the dispensation of our Lord and Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, it is the 27 books, His law, the law of Christ, the covenant of the Christ. For you and I today, we delight, we meditate day and night on this law. You see? But His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. Therein, we find our instruction. Therein, we find our counsel. Therein, we find our position and our path. Therein, we find our seating. You see, our walk, our counsel, our position, our path, our seating is not with the wicked. It's with the law of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. It's with the 66 books of the Bible rightly handled. Therein we live and we receive instruction. Therein we defend and participate in what is righteous. Therein we stand in defense for our Lord and Master against the attacks of the wicked. And we find great joy in doing such, great fulfillment and contentment in doing such. We find comfort and encouragement. We find hope in tomorrow while we are devastated and destroyed in discouragement. We meditate. We take the time to fast. We take the time to pray. We take the time to read and read again and read slower day and night. Meaning, it becomes the all-consuming priority in our minds, in our lives. It creates in us our identity as instruments to be utilized within His kingdom. We are His servants. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He will, if following the instructions of verse 2, a faithful brother or sister in Christ, a faithful Christian, will be like a firm planted tree. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water. If you don't do this, verse 1, and you do that, verse 2, you'll be like this, verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. A believer, a faithful Christian, is a tree. But not just any tree, because some trees, they wither away, produce no fruit, and are hewn down, cut into pieces, and thrown into the furnace. But this here tree, he's firmly planted. Why? Because he's got roots. Well, how can that take place? He's next to the word of God, the streams of water, the law of the Lord. If a Christian remains close to the streams of water, the words of the Holy Bible, the words of the law, and he follows the words of the law, he obeys them, he's going to grow roots. Wife and children who will be married to faithful believers, producing more children, and the ancestral tree of that family will be great for God. And that is of a physical perspective, but of the spiritual perspective, more so important, because you can have a family of 500 members headed to hell. You don't want to do that. You'd rather have 500 family members headed towards heaven, faithful to Christ, producing fruits for our Lord and Master as legal citizens of his kingdom. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. We don't live that long if we don't have water around us. I mean, you can Google how much water the human body holds. Is it no wonder that God would command water in the plan of salvation? He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. These streams of water, these words of our Lord, this law that we meditate on, will allow us nutriment, protein, growth, and because of that, yielding fruit in season. And its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Not only are we producing fruit, growing spiritually, maturing in his word, his law, becoming wise in our discernment, being able to recognize the wicked, being able to not take of their counsel, being able to not defend the sin, but rather expose the sin, being able to recognize that we do not participate in persecuting those who stand for the truth. No, we meditate in the word. We pray, we fast, we live according to the law of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. We are a tree firmly grounded on solid rock. Roots are being laid. Strong we become because of our Lord's grace. Producing fruit, we will bring others to the truth. We are benevolent. We evangelize. We teach and preach. We recite. We memorize. We live according to the word. We are people of the book, the holy book. And because of that, we will defend the truth. We will proclaim the truth. We will persevere through very difficult and challenging moments when the wicked and the sinners and the scoffers attack us, even from within, the wolves in sheep's clothing, those who may have gotten close to us, those who may have manipulated us in friendship. We will stand strong against these bullies, and they will be exposed and sent back to the pit they come from. And what the faithful do for God, according to his will be prospered. Will be prospered. But you see, the wicked, verse 4, they don't operate that way. They don't live according to these principles read in verse 1, 2, and 3. They are quite different, aren't they? They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. You know what chaff is? Yesterday we shared kind of an illustration of sorts. A candy wrapper, right? The candy wrapper don't go nowheres but with the wind. Falls to the ground, the wind picks it up, and who knows where it will be laid tomorrow. Finally finds itself in a garbage bin somewheres and is destroyed. But the candy, the sweet, if you will, oh, that we keep, that we take in our hands and we place in our mouths, and we have ourselves a moment of pleasure as the sugar hits the palate and gives us a momentary joy. Right? Well, the wicked are the chaff. They go with the wind. They go one place, they go to another. They're curious about sin. They want to sin. No. And the chaff, when it goes away, it's burnt. But what's within it is to be held dear, for it is nourishment. The seed is good. The candy wrapper goes away. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Very different than what is found in verse 1, 2, and 3 of what a faithful believer would live and practice. But the wicked, they're not so. They don't live according to those principles, those ways. They are deviant, perverted. They seek their own praise and their own agenda. They are treacherous, accusers and betrayers, making up lies, perverting narratives. They go to and fro, cause damage everywhere as they go. They're like chaff, which the wind drives away. They think they have substance. They think they are speaking things of truth. And some of them firmly believe that they are faithful to God and will see heaven one day. Oh, great will be the gnashing of teeth from these wicked individuals among us. The heathen, the pagan, those who are outside, a destructive end also. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. These have no defense on judgment day. It's not going to be a trial of sorts where you're going to hear the prosecutors and the defense and everybody's going to bat around and debate and see what's going to come about. It's already been decided through the word of God. These wicked individuals, both outside the church and those who have snuck in wearing sheep's clothing to deceive a great many, they're not going to stand in judgment. They're going to fall. They're going to fall. They're not going to have the time to bring forth their own narrative at that moment. There are many wicked individuals among us right now that feel they have all the time in the world to create all kinds of chaos and divisive endeavors. But on that day, that'll all be done with and brought forth and exposed. They're not going to stand in judgment. They're going to be eternally damned to hell. It's going to be a sad day on that day, for a great many are so convinced that they're on the way to heaven. Among us, our own brethren, so convinced. On that day, they won't stand before the judgment, and it will be very devastating for them. And they will gnash their teeth in hate for eternity. The wicked will not stand in the judgment. They're not going to be given another try, a second chance at it. They've had all the chances, they've had all the opportunities on this in this life to do what's right and repent, to admit fault. But you see, the wicked, they have no redemptive qualities. They're always right. They're never wrong. They're not humble enough to see the wickedness they are. They won't stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. On that day, the Lord's church will be void of all those wolves in sheep's clothing, all those behavioral delinquencies that have been emboldened, all those divisive endeavors, and all the wickedness and all that sin that has crept into the church. On that day, the assembly will belong to the righteous and the righteous only. The division will be made on that judgment, and the wicked won't stand. They'll be on the left with the goats. Oh no, not the greatest of all times. The wicked. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Sometimes you don't need to defend yourself here on this earth. The wicked dig their own graves. God knows. God sees. God sees. God knows these things. He knows who the righteous are. He knows who belong to him and who have betrayed him and his son and his people. The wicked, they're going to perish eternally. The faithful, they will be in the assembly of the Lord forevermore in his womb, where there is care, there is comfort, there is peace, there is love, there is no more separation, there will be no more treachery and betrayal, only love. These will remain. And that concludes chapter 1 of the Psalm. Proclaim to you in a manner that allows you practical presence in our current era, the Christian age, as brothers and sisters in Christ, faithful to the word of our Lord and Master. Many things come our way from all directions, right? At times we have to deal with the sheer consequences of being subject to the natural law. Meaning, because this world is a fallen world, at times we become the victims of weather conditions, if you will. You know, tsunamis and floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and things of that nature. Sometimes we become victims of other wicked individuals' activities, murder. Sometimes we have to deal with the loss of loved ones. Well, sometimes we all do. You can't live in this life for an extended period of time without having experienced the loss of loved ones. That's difficult, isn't it? That's difficult in of itself, these things that at times we are not in control of. Then you have the high-handed sinful practices of many. Fornication, adultery, right? Abortion, everything the LGBTQ community practices and portrays, their agenda, false teachers, false teachings, all these false churches that do not belong to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, all of this wickedness. And with a great many of them, we can understand and we persevere through, though very difficult. But sin and wickedness, these evil individuals, sadly, these sometimes become our brethren, those who are close to us, most close to us. Some of them befriend us and we trust them for many years. But then you awaken from their control and you begin to heal and you begin to see how clearly these individuals were sinister, malicious, treacherous. They were everything they've ever accused you of being. And they will perish eternally. And therein lies the comfort. We pray for their repentance. We certainly would most prefer seeing them in heaven one day than to know they are headed towards hell. But again, these wicked individuals, they don't have any redemptive qualities. They are so self-righteous and hypocritical, so blind to it. They truly believe they're on the path to heaven among us. And the Bible speaks of these. The Bible speaks of these diatrophies, these individuals. We need to be wise and strong as brethren. We do. These attacks that we face, these trials we experience, these many moments in life, at times it is God disciplining us, teaching us that we should have been stronger to discern certain things, to teach us to be humble, and to teach us to no longer follow and trust men, but to trust your own mind with the Bible. There is much to learn. There is wisdom. and God will make right what is wrong on that day. If not on this earth, on that day, certainly. Well, my friends, that is the lesson at this time. I appreciate your kind attention. If you have any comments or questions or concerns, you can certainly let them be known. You can reach out to me privately, addedsouls@gmail.com. The Maya family needs your support. If you are a faithful member of the Lord's Church and you seek to have this Added Souls ministry grow in the communities we labor, please consider doing so. You can look at the show notes. You can digitally support. You can send donation. And if you're seeking the address to send a check, send me an email, and I'll give you that address. Again, this here is simply for those of you who are faithful in Christ and understand the language, so that we can keep proclaiming the truth to this world, this dying world. Appreciate you a great deal. Love you a great deal. Friends, stay focused, stay positive. We go live from Monday to Friday. The itinerary is as goes. On Mondays, we share the sermon. On Tuesdays, we analyze the lyric. We take a secular song from the world there, and we kind of look at the lyrics and have a discussion on that. On Wednesdays, we're studying the Bible. We're going through the book of Genesis currently, and we're getting into chapter 3, I believe, this week. On Thursday, we do a topical discussion. On Fridays, we do sociopolitical. We have a discussion on sociopolitical affairs, current events, stuff like that. If that's something you are interested in, please consider subscribing, following, liking, sharing, giving a comment, all that kind of good stuff. That all right? I think that's about it. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see each other, Lord willing, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Atlantic Daylight Time. Peace out.